Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right there,
for real.
Hip-hop, you ghost, dog.
Here you go. Oh, my God.
Brother Van Silk, coming to you live from Sarasota, Florida. I got my man up in Long Island. What's going on, Cool Count, the original
What
star,
up, Silky,
child?
Man? What up, Silk, man? The master plan, man. My man Soul. Yeah, Cool Count, Van Silk, the place to be. Hip-hop, you don't stop. What up, brother? What's going on, son?
What up, kid? Hey, yo, you know what, man?
Yeah.
I want to say something to everybody before I normally do my introduction to our wonderful guest that we got tonight.
Yeah.
And we all in our culture of hip-hop grew up together as teenagers.
Yes, we did.
Knowing each other, and it's been more than 30 and 40 years. Some of us are old grumpy men and grumpy women. Some of us are side chicks. But.
Yo, that's our person. Yo, yo, listen,
I was
gonna
say something. Go ahead.
Yo, so to our audience, that's our person. That's our personal joke between Missy,
right.
Me, you. No, and you know, the definitely Kimbo. Yeah, that's our personal joke, but go ahead, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, I like to say, you know, like, we lost a lot of people that came up with us in hip-hop, and then we also lost a lot of personal people with us, our mothers, our fathers, you know, brothers, sisters. And, you know, like, November's always a hard month for me because this will be the first anniversary of my father's demise.
Yes.
On the 24th, Thanksgiving. 3 days before my birthday.
Mr. Blanchard.
And
it's
really hard for me sometimes. But I just like to say to all our missing brothers and sisters that this past summer, you know, we did the Bronx Great Day in Hip Hop. And it just wasn't about the Bronx, it was about the culture of hip hop. Where we honored, you know, Donald D, and we honored Reggie, Kid the Light from the Boogie Boys. We honored Mr. Magic. We honored Scott LaRock. We honored Hank.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care where you come from. We still one family. The Bronx is just the home of hip hop. But New York is the Mecca. And
that's
I just like to say, we're going to do it again in March. And it's going to be the biggest thing ever to hip hop. And the reason
why
Me and Cal have been talking about this for 2 years, 7 o'clock in the morning, 5 in the morning, 3 in the morning. You know, like, yo, what can we do? Because we never know when it's going to be the last time we're going to see each other.
You're right.
Yeah.
And we at a point in our life where the BETs and the VH1s them can't acknowledge us because they don't have the knowledge to acknowledge a lot of people. Mm. They're in business, you know, and we're in something that we were all part of, the practitioners.
Mm. Talk about
the,
that.
The creation of a culture.
Right.
We didn't create the music. We created the culture that went
yes,
global.
Yes, we did.
Yes, sir.
And at the end of the day, we're going to do something again in March. And if you follow us, you'll find out in January. But a lot of the insiders that we contact knows what's going on. It's going to be a great day. And we're going to honor our own.
Yeah.
From us, by us.
Exactly.
Also,
FUBU. For us, by us. Exactly.
Also in this culture of hip-hop, there's been a lot of females that
mm-hmm.
got on the mic before records.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying, you have not just the Shot Rock and Lisa Lee and Pebbly Poole and Debbie D, the girls who was able to move after the Sugar Hill record era, but the girls before that was on the flyers. That was the contract. That was the record deal. The
right.
Parks, the Battlegrounds,
right.
You know, the Key Connections, the Harlem
right,
World,
right,
PALs,
right.
The
Harlem Bronx, PALs, right, yes.
Randy
you got 30 MCs and one girl, and everybody trying to holler at her. She trying to go
Celebrity
to
Club, Celebrity Club, yeah. Harlem, USA, no doubt.
And it comes down to that we're going to honor Little Lee, who's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have sisters like from Brooklyn and Queens that were DJs, and,
mm-hmm.
and whether it was an MC or whatever, they participated.
DJ Lady
females.
Love. DJ Lady
Love
from Queens.
Lady Love
down
from
by
the Bronx.
Love. That's right.
She was DJing in Queens in the beginning. All her flyers, she was hanging. She
of
was
course,
I know
of
she's
course.
From the Bronx.
She's
let me finish this.
Yes.
But she Bronx her. Now.
Right. Well, she's born in the Bronx, but she moved to Queens.
Yeah.
But let me
so
finish.
She's a Queens icon. But go ahead, so.
Right.
Ahead,
exactly.
So.
She an icon. Period. With
Can
the
I
old
finish?
School of hip hop.
Hello, hello, interviewee. Interviewee.
I'm going to play that record again if she don't stop.
Exactly. Knock it off, will you? Will you knock it out, so. Damn,
now,
yo.
We got to get to the females that some of y'all may not be familiar with. And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then that doesn't mean they life quit. The life stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we got two females that are queens
mm-hmm.
in hip-hop. Neither one of them had a major hit record. Guess what? In the last 2 years, one of them did the Battlegrounds. Party.
Yes, yes, yes.
Honoring the hip hop pioneers and legends, and with all the guys that had the hits and everybody, she the one who went and did it. And then we have another sister that was in the movement up in the Bronx.
That's
with,
right.
With Grand Mixed DST.
DST.
Who runs
right.
Jam Master J Foundation. She's the CEO. So, how did this happen? So, in your life, it's not what you did then, it's what you're doing now.
Right.
And right here on Hip Hop, You Don't Stop, thank you, Beverly Black, Tribe Family Channel. I want everybody to know when it comes to me and Kyle and we talking about who did what and who we want to interview. No, we want to interview who needs to be interviewed. I can't do what everybody else do. They need to follow what we do. Because when you come on here, it's legitimate. We're going to have conversations.
Tell them, so that's what we do.
But I like the world of me tonight. MC Missy D,
Ooh.
MC Kemba from the Infinity 4 MCs. What's going on, y'all?
Ooh. Ooh.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Van Silk.
This is Missy, and I'm saying for the record, Van Silk, that wasn't me talking. That was Kemba talking.
Wow.
She
throwing you under the bus. Female against female. We ain't having that. That's not good.
What? Listen.
Ah.
Now we got an inside joke. I'll tell you it later on.
Okay, you know,
that's what we was laughing about. That's why the three of us is laughing. She's not in on it. I got to tell her later.
Well, I guess I could let her in on it. But go ahead, Cal. Take it over, baby. I'm listening.
Okay, I got you, Sookie boy. First of all, y'all, I like to welcome, like Vanso just said, my girl. And she knows she my girl because she done smacked me in the back of the head when I violated. And she kind of caught me, but she really didn't. But that's a personal story. My girl, Miss E.D., and Kimber, who I've been knowing since, oh, my God, oh, Soundview, Bronx River. Kimber, MC Kimber, MC Miss E.D., both of you are, first of all, let me say this. Everybody talks about the known names of female MCs. Now, and that's only because certain females made certain moves, and what happened was in this game, and Kool Cal, the star child, knows because I'm one of them dudes that fell in between the cracks. But throughout the world, you know, cats study hip-hop, and I get acknowledgement from around the planet. But in the United States of America, if you did not have a smash hit record, because records changed the whole game, you know, you got to, like, fight for your acknowledgement. This is when me and Vanso came in. You know, me and Vanso go back to, like, day one when he used to come to my father's store. And Vanso was one of those RC packs, and he was one of those promoters. And, you know, our history and our story is cemented in concrete. Me and him both know that. And the people who knew us back then know that. And all the real people in your oranges of hip-hop know that. Having said mm-hmm. all that, let's look at the females. We know about Sharrock. We know about Lisa Lee. We know about Debbie, you know, Lost Girl thing and all that. That's cool and all that. But you know what? There's females, because it's always been a male-oriented game.
Mm-hmm.
There's females such as Sweet and Sour, whose sister I went with for many years, that need to be recognized, and they need to be brought out. Records or no records, it doesn't matter. What they did in the game is mad important, because I remember, me personally, when it was nothing but dudes standing up there. Yes, yes, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stop. You keep going and you rock that. Listen, for a female to get up there and sit down in her room at nighttime about 11 o'clock at night probably, and put that pen to that paper and decide, I'm going to do that because I want to do that because I think I'm funky.
True.
Okay, so you think you're funky? So now to get around these dudes and let alone be cute and have a body and have these cats sweating her and want to get behind the row and stand next to some DJ and want to get on a mic, because we all know what the game was like back in those days. You just didn't get on. You had to fight to get on. And then once
Absolutely.
You got halfway on, you had to sustain yourself. Having said
Absolutely.
All that, it's an honor and a pleasure to welcome Missy D and MC Kimber to our show. Hip hop, you don't stop. So let me just say that
to
you all right
cool,
now.
Kyle. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Kyle. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
No doubt. Both of y'all. Okay?
Thank you, Kyle.
You're welcome, Kimber. So now we're dealing with two of y'all, and me and Vanso never deal with two people one time, so I don't know why he threw this on my lap. I got to handle two females. Yo, Kyle, Scorpio, and Kyle already know. Kyle already know. And Missy know me. She know me so well. She done smacked me in the back. Oh, my God. I got a hand on Missy. Somebody call me tomorrow. Yo, nigga. Oh, I said, oh, I said the A-word. Anyway, Missy was like, listen. You should have did that. Let me stop. Anyway, let me try to handle
you know
both
what?
Of y'all because y'all are both queens.
Oh, Lord. Well, you know
and
what
I'm
I wanted
to be...
say? I wanted
yes.
to say something about what you just said, and you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, before records. And one of the things people really got to understand is, okay, so the early records were, a lot of them were very long, 14 minutes, 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I mean,
mm-hmm.
they were emceeing through the whole thing in one take. But as time
mm-hmm.
went on, the records got shorter. And a lot of these, you know, people that got into the game through doing records, it was so different for us because, like you said, we was behind the ropes, we had to fight, you know what I'm saying? We had to get on and stay on. And not just that, but... You know, when you said, you know, you have to go home at night and write your rhymes. Not just that,
mm-hmm.
but you emceeing all night. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing a 7-minute record. You're putting together whatever
right.
your rhymes are in your head as you're emceeing. You have to think about what rhyme you're going to say next and how, how you're going to connect that rhyme. And you're doing that all night long. So that takes, to me, a different skill set. And it's a harder skill set because you're actually live. You know what I'm saying? And
there
you're
go.
Actually doing your routine, and you're interacting with your other group members, and you're trying to make it sound smooth. You know what I'm saying? And polished.
Yes, ma'am.
And then
yes, ma'am.
After you do that, you know you got that routine that you're going to do with your group. Whatever your routine that you have agreed to do that night, you're going to do that probably at the height of the party. When you know that party is packed, okay, now it's time for us to do our little show and get it popping.
Right,
so it's a whole different ball game. I mean, if you was there during the early days, then you was really performing.
See,
you wasn't going on tour doing the same record over and over again.
Exactly.
Every night was a different show. And
every night was a different new rhyme
and new routines. You understand?
Exactly.
And it had to be polished. And then you were doing all different things during that night. It wasn't just a little 7-8 minute record. You were,
you were trying to shine. You were trying to stand out and do your thing. Let me start from the beginning because this is how we usually do it. But let me just interject right there. See, these people nowadays who are coming into the game, see, the game has already been set up for them. And it's all based on a performance based on the song or the record that you have out now. But when we all came out, even if we had a record, because I came out in the days before there was a record. So I went through the whole circuit, the PAL, Celebrity Club, T-Connection.
Yeah.
I was T-Connection was my spot for quite a while, Disco Fever and all that. So you had to have something to say when you got on that mic. And then you had a DJ who was your main DJ. You practiced with him and all that. So it was all basically live. These cats nowadays, do your thing off your record. Have some kind of intro. Exactly.
Right.
Now, let me ask you all this. It's a whole different program now. But I'm really interested in finding out from Missy and you, Kimber. Yo, listen, how did you decide, and both of y'all got to understand, there's two of y'all, and we're on time constraints. Missy, how did you decide to get into the game, and what's the first thing you did? And Kimber, how did you decide? Because, Kimber, I know you was in Truman, and you was running around them hallways rhyming and getting with your boys in Truman because, I grew up, on 221st Street between Barnes and Bronzewood. So how did y'all decide to get into the game? Missy, go first.
Well, honestly, I decided to get in the game because my mother wouldn't let us hang out. I grew up in Harlem. I went to Julia Richmond, and I went to school with all the old heads. I went to school with Mr. Freeze and Rocket Rob and Master Don and all of those guys from the east side in Harlem. And I wanted to go to the party, and my mother wouldn't let us go. She used to tell us, I think around the time I really started getting into hip-hop, I was about 16 years old.
Okay.
So my mother wouldn't let us go out. And she used to say, because when you get 18, if I let you go now, when you get 18, you ain't going to have nothing to do. That's what my mother used to say. So she wouldn't let us go to parties. And, oh, my God, we used to cry and just try to figure out a way to go to the party.
Right.
So what really got me to go in the game is one time in the battleground, Curtis Blow used to rock in our neighborhood with an old DJ named TJ the DJ.
Right. I remember that. Okay.
And one time, Curtis brought Flash to the battleground. And it was crazy because I was like the girl MC of the area. And I came up in there and I was rocking on the mic. And freaking Grandmaster Flash came up to me and was like, yo, you got to come to the Fever. If you come to the Fever, I'll make you a star. And I'm the 16-year-old fucking.
How old were you, Missy? How old were you, Missy? How old were you? 15?
16.
Wow. 16. Okay.
Looking at Flash, and I told him, I said, I'm coming. I'm coming to the Fever. And I ran down a block to tell my mother, and my mother said, you ain't going no damn Fever. You're not going up in here.
Wow.
They smoking dust up there, and you see that.
Yes, they
and she
was
right. Actually, she was right, but that's another story.
Okay. See, my mom, at that time, my mom was out there, so she knew what time was, and she wouldn't let me come. So I didn't
right.
go. So
right.
I settled for emceeing in the lunchroom in Julia Richmond.
Okay.
And I was actually discovered by Master Don.
Okay. Wow.
And that's how
Kimba,
I got pulled into it.
Got you. Kimba, how did you... Because I know your
My
history a little bit
is
about
a long
about
one, because I'm a little bit older than
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah, you got history
a few years. But, you know, I started out with the movement. You know, when I was 15, I was a break dancer before there were any MCs. I used to go down to, I lived in Castle Hill, so I used to go to Bronxdale because these two guys, Cookie and Clement, in Bronxdale used to be break dancers. And I think at that time, Mario used to be out there.
Wow,
but it wasn't
DJ
like
Mario.
Organized
wow.
MC. It was just him out
Rest
there. Remember,
peace.
He used to have the red,
yes.
the stoplights.
Yes, yes.
He used to
Rest
be
in
out
peace,
right
Mario,
out there
yeah.
in the basketball courts by Pathmark.
Yes, the basketball courts. Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah.
He used to be right out there with it. He wasn't out there a lot, but it was way before any MC stuff had started. You know, I was just a break
right,
dancer. And
right.
I just evolved with it. You know what I'm saying? As the culture
right.
evolved, I was part of it. I was a break dancer. That was the thing to do. And then I went from break dancing to becoming an MC because that's when the MC groups got really popular. But it actually started because I went to Truman. I went to Truman, and Raheem was in Truman. Shaheem was in Truman. And that's who I was running with in the hallways of Truman. Way before Raheem had even gotten into the original
the
Funky
Four.
Four.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We weren't even in groups. The groups didn't even exist. And then once they did start to materialize, Raheem was with the Funky Four, and then I just joined Infinity Four with Remix and DST and DJ Lil Quick.
Kimball, let me ask you this. How did Raheem even know that you could rhyme? How do you know you had a voice? We know Sha-Rock was messing with not messing with, like, in a boyfriend-girlfriend type way, but we know Sha-Rock could rhyme because she got down with Breakout and she got down with K.K. Rockwell. She was the first, well, you know, when they decided to become a group. How did they know that you could rhyme? How did they know that you had skills?
Well, what happened was I was away at school because I got out of school. I was, like, 17, so I was in college when I was at 17.
So you graduated from Truman. So
yeah,
you
I graduated
Truman.
From Truman, and when I graduated
okay.
was when they formed Infinity, and Shaheem asked me if I wanted to be part of the group. And he said to me, well, if you want to be part of the group, you can come up there and we'll audition. And I had to go and audition in front of DST.
But how did he know you could rhyme? Wait, we heard you
well, he knew
like,
I
say
could
rhyme one
after
day after. Coming out the bathroom and shit? Or
no,
coming out of algebra? Like, how did you know?
As a matter of fact, I think that's the first time I met DST.
Okay.
See, Shaheem knew me and Raheem because they used to sing. We used to sing going through the hallway. So we had known each other for a long time. And Shaheem
right.
approached me.
Because okay.
he knew I knew how to sing and asked me if I wanted to be an MC, because remember, everyone was an MC, and it was, like, new. So if you
yeah,
even did
it,
you
yeah,
were
it
cutting edge.
New.
It was
exactly,
yeah, it was
yeah.
brand new.
Right.
It was brand new. No one was doing it. These
right,
groups were just forming in real time. Funky Four,
right.
Finney, everything was Four. Furious Four, the L Brothers.
Right.
Kaz was a DJ.
Yes, Casanova Fly. That's what he
okay.
was called.
Kaz will tear up the turntables now because he was a DJ at that time, early on.
Yes, yes.
Kaz's been around for a long time, but I'm saying it was during those times when we were just, you know, when things were just forming around the MC group.
Right.
So
right.
there was
right.
no one
right.
for us to follow. There was no rules. We was just making it as we went along.
Got you, got you. So, Missy,
yeah.
now you're
yeah.
in Harlem. You're in Harlem. Mm-hmm. Now, I have an extensive history of Hollywood. So I know Hollywood, you know, really comes from Harlem, but he made his name in 371 in the Bronx. And that's where
exactly.
I met him. He put me on, gave me the mic one night because I had a girl who knew his girl. And she heard me rhyming one day and I met him in my crib. And that's my story. But anyway, how did you get on, Missy? You know, no, seriously, I'm supposed to be like getting with her and I'm like writing rhymes. She's like, yo, what are you doing? Writing rhymes, girl. You need to chill for a minute. You know, seriously, that's my story. Everybody know that story. Hollywood know it. But anyway, how did you get on coming from Harlem? How did you first
Because I know you made your record, but let's get to the point where you actually got on. Now you Missy D, and you got the melody thing going on.
Before the record came, I was actually Missy D. And I was walking around in Harlem. I actually, like I was saying before, I actually got discovered by Master Don. My girlfriend, I had a girlfriend named Apple C. And me and Apple used to sit in the lunchroom, and at that time, everybody was doing it, in the lunchroom, banging on the desk, rhyming.
Right.
That's what we all did at the time.
Right.
And me and Apple used to go and battle the boys in the
you battle the boys.
Yeah, that was a big deal, man.
Hey, yo, Missy, were you rocking a short haircut then?
Yo, I had an afro. I swear to God, I had an afro.
Oh, yeah, afro. Okay.
I always had an afro. I wanted to wear my hair in an afro.
Okay.
My hair was so thick. I hated for my mother to pull it up in the afro puff. So I just said, let me wear, and I wore my hair in an afro. But Apple and I were in the lunchroom, and Julia Richmond and Master Don walked up, and he was with a couple of other guys.
Right.
During this time, Keith KC was a baby. He was like,
he was mad young.
Was he was a baby. Keith KC, there was no death committee at this time. There was no death committee. It was
just
Master Don, and he was rocking. I remember Keith KC being a little kid and wanting to get down with Don, but Don wasn't ready for him yet. Don and Mr. Freeze, that's who it was. A guy named Mr. Freeze, and from what I understand, he died also, as well as Master Don did. And God bless them both. And they were walking in the lunchroom, and they came in. Now, I originally thought that Don wanted me to be down with him, but he actually formed another group, and it was with me and Mr. Freeze and two other guys. And we were Mr. Freeze and the 3MCs. But I rocked with Don in Harlem because Freeze and all of them lived down on the east side. But Uptown, we were from Uptown. Don and I were from Uptown. Don was from 147th Street between 7th and 8th. And I was from 151st between Amsterdam and Broadway. So
when
we had the jams uptown, I would come down the hill and meet Don and Bradhurst, and we would go to Bradhurst Park or 23 Park, and we would walk around, and Keith KC used to be with us, but he was a little guy then, and he used to walk with us too, and we used to go around to the jams, and I would get on the mic, and then sometimes Don would pull out and come out and play in 23 Park, and I would get on the mic with him, and that's how I started MCing in Harlem. So in Harlem, everybody knew I was an MC. I mean,
And this is a great story, but I want to say something to all the listeners from a mathematical standpoint.
Right.
Because when everybody talks about what year, let's just use 1978 as an example. I want people to understand, let's just use 78. From an age standpoint, I was already 21 in 78. You might have been 20 already. You know, Hollywood might have been 24. But you might be having Missy and Kim were talking of Missy might have been 16 or 17. But it was
the
same culture. Because I was already out of high school before even MC in hip-hop was even established.
Yeah. So yes.
We was all doing the same thing.
Yes.
But, you know, it was more to be honest with you, like I was telling Cal a lot of times, the effect never affected me and Cool Cal because we was already out of school.
Right.
It was high school that really carried that legacy of what Cool Herc and all of them was doing because y'all got the flyers. Because
they come to the school.
There was no reason for me to be hanging around
Ohio
school.
Give them out.
Right. There was no reason for me to be at 21 hanging around Ohio school looking for no 14, 15-year-old. Not me. You know,
people.
But I just wanted to bring the point that y'all might be a little younger because I think I'm about 6 years older than Raheem.
No, I think Kimber is along with y'all.
No, they a little older than
me. No, Kimber's
me
a little bit younger.
Raheem. Yeah. I'm younger. I'm a little bit younger because I was 17.
Wow.
If you were 17 in 78. Yeah, I was already 21, so that's 4 years. Well, no reason for me to be around the high school. You know,
right,
what
I was like,
I was
like 18
school,
going on 19 in 78.
Right,
right.
But if you, but the Raheems and the Whipple Whips and the Shot Rocks and Rodney, see, everybody was still in high school. And
yeah, we were all in
high
school.
If I wasn't in the part of the promoter and following AJ and Love Bug and all of them, I would have never seen the flyer. I would have never known about none of the flyers. So there's the people that were my age that didn't even participate in this, that didn't wasn't
right.
even part of, because they were just doing their other thing, going to the service, army, jobs. I was just part of the
right.
culture of hip-hop.
Right.
And if it wasn't for the teenagers, y'all that's younger than us, that came up in
yeah.
the same generation, y'all was y'all knew more than us, because they would go to your school. We would go to your school to hit you with the flyers.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
want to say, you know, that even though there might be a 4, 5, 6, 7 year difference, we all was in the same generation in the first
class.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yes, sir.
And on this note, I got to do a station break. And, Kyle, you're doing a real great job. So I'll let you handle it because you're real great at interviewing.
Thank you, man.
This is Tribe Family Channel. We'd like to thank our girl, Beverly Black. She's been great with us, you know. Also, I want everybody to make sure that she also has Cheryl the Pearl on the show, and they have Sparky D coming up in a few weeks. And I got my man Cool Cal here, and I got two lovely ladies, Missy D and MC Kemba. Y'all doing a great job. I respect y'all. And in March 2018, it's going to be on. I'm going to be silent but listening, but Cal going to handle it out to 9 o'clock, and I wish everybody the best.
No doubt, Sookie, boy.
Cal,
my man,
on,
man.
Baby.
So, got you, son. Got
okay.
you. No doubt. So, Kimba, so now you up in Truman, and I know you running around with Shaheen, because I was going to deal with DST, because he gave me an offer to get down with y'all. I'm pretty sure you don't even know about this. But how did you – no, seriously, because he came to me one day, yo, Cal, I got the super group. He called it the super group.
I can't.
He called it the super group. Infinity. He called it Infinity. I'm like, okay, Infinity means way beyond, like, the next level.
Yeah.
He
on
said,
and on.
I got this girl named Kimba. And then he described you to me. Because, again, like Van Silk just elaborated, I'm just – a couple of years older than all y'all. Me
right,
and Curtis
right.
Blow went to high school together. Me and Curtis are a year apart. But I graduated from high school in 76. Kirk got out in 77. I lived in the hood that Truman has, but I didn't go to Truman. I went to music and art because I took a drum test and an art test, and I got into music and art. I would have went to Truman, but I got talent, so I ain't going to look there too. But I met Raheem back when Raheem was in 11th grade. I knew Rodney from downtown. But see, this is all Bronx action. You feel me?
Yeah.
Now, Kimba, how did you, once you got with DST, DX, well, he was DST then, before he became DXC.
Yeah.
How did y'all get together to decide to be like the Infinity Rappers? And what happened as a group? And what was your role in that group?
So Infinity Rappers was a different group. That was the group later on. Infinity Four.
Yes,
well,
I'm sorry, baby.
Know.
I'm sorry, Queen. Infinity Four. Right. You're 100% correct.
It was once I auditioned and got on, I think Shaheen was already in the group then.
Yeah.
And there was a few people, you know, it was so long ago. They said, you don't remember this one? I'm like, nah, he was only there for one show.
Yeah, because it was ages ago. Yeah, no doubt.
It was ages.
But you know what? It's important to remember these things because what's happened, and I'm going to interrupt my question, and I really want you to come back to it because I'm going to make sure you come back. But see, what's happened is, during the years, and I know this for a fact because my story has been told and then untold and then been distorted. We need to protect ourselves.
Absolutely.
This is why I made an effort to talk to Missy. Listen, I see Missy. Missy's my girl.
And I'm never going to forget about Missy. Besides the fact that her ex, and she knows what I'm talking about, that's my man for life. But that's not even the issue. Missy's important. You are important. You don't run around in the hip-hop circles. You don't come to none of these joints, but you're still important. You and I don't talk on the phone. We're on Facebook. You might like my stuff. I might like yours, but you, we don't see
you. Yo,
you're
my birthday twin.
Yeah, we are. But you know what? We still need to connect on this hip-hop level because our story will be stolen. And at the end of the day, when you and I are both doing what God wants us to do and our family saying, we loved her so much. We loved him so much. Yeah. Nobody is giving us real props. Our story's out on VH1 or MTV or you know what I'm saying? And this is why me and Vance don't take the time to do all this. Because you're important. Missy's mad. Both of you are mad important. Vance Soak is important. I'm mad important. Listen, I got cats overseas that hit me on a regular. They know more about me than I know. I'm like, how you know that?
Yeah. They do that to me, too. They teach them about me. People hit me up.
I found that also because when we made the record, I kept telling the producer while we were in the studio when they flipped it that they changed the record and it was going to be whack and nobody was going to buy it. I was devastated because they had us do the record one way and then he went and got an arranger and when we came back the next week, it sounded like that.
There you go. And you told me that before, Missy. You told me that before. And see, that's important. You know why, Missy? That's history. Because if you don't tell me this right now in this interview, nobody would know that. And that's a part of what made hip-hop hip-hop. My first record, me and Sinbad went to the studio with this white guy. And that, listen, I'm not racial, and I don't give a damn about nothing. I'm half white my damn self. I started off, shoot. I was scratching on my first record. And the engineer said, yo, Kyle, what are you doing? I said, it's called scratching. He said, yeah, but it's making the levels go off the meter, and we can't record that. I said, why not? He said, because it's going into the red zone. I said, I said, yo, I don't know what that means, but what are you saying? We can't do that. Listen, this is years before Flash made the Adventures of Grandmaster Flash. This is years before Theodore ever scratched on a record. I had scratched on my very first record in 1979 going on 80. I took it out. Who knows that? So if I don't tell people about that, and they might not give a damn, but I give a damn. Because it's important because it all goes into our history. Right. Because one day Missy D will not be here. Kimbo won't be here. Cool Cow won't be here. Van Silk won't be here. Melly Mel won't be here. Kaz won't be here. None of us are going to be here. You know who will be here? Lil Wayne will be here. Jeezy will be here. All these new, they're going to be here. So we have to support each other and tell our stories and tell it over and over and over again because Missy did something and what she did was important. Kimba did something and it was important. Kyle did something and it was important. I started T Connection. Ask Richard T. God bless his day. But you can't ask him because he's gone. But I'm just saying. I mean, it's mad important. Okay? Our history is important. Yeah. And this is why we reach out to your people. Especially the females, because the female aspect of hip hop, you know, listen, okay, we all know Sharlock. Sharlock is my girl. Sharon is my girl. Yeah. But that's not even the point. The point is that aspect of this culture is much, if not important as us, even more important because girls, you know how we used to look at y'all? Yeah. Yo, she cute. She got a big butt. I like her chest.
Okay.
She can rhyme.
Sharlock and I have talked about this over and over and over again. And I had explained to her that was one of the reasons why I kind of shied away from hip hop because it was male dominated.
Right.
And it was dependent upon, not all the time, but some of the time. I think I always said that the girls didn't get treated well. We would do jams, for instance, when they had a battle with the Lady MCs.
Right.
And it was a whole bunch of girls, but the only person that I remember definitively being there was Pebbly Poo. That was when I first met Pebbles. And we had Battle of the Lady MCs, and at the end of the night, the guys didn't want to pay the girl.
Right. Because y'all,
like,
y'all,
it ain't no money.
Because y'all were women.
No money.
Right.
You know, so it got to be little things like that, or the DJs that want to get kiss you or let you rub their butt. So
they
want to
get with you, right.
That's why I kind of got out of it. Because on top of that, I had my mother in my ear going, this hip hop stuff, you know, like when rock and roll had first came out, how the parents was telling the kids it was stupid. My mother was saying the same thing about hip hop.
And my
stupid.
Dad used to tell me the same thing because he was a rock and roll musician. He played a mad bunch of rock and roll records. Yo, Cal, you got a voice, nigga. I heard you sing. Why you saying them damn rhymes?
Nothing
that hippity
right.
hop
that's
shit.
That's what my mother would say. So
exactly.
That's how I kind of fell off the scene. I mean, I was on the scene till maybe about 85, and then I kind of fell off because I went to work, I went to college, you know, I went to school and everything. But
right.
I ended up, you know, I got a fly here from 80, from that
mm-hmm.
Nasty Dawn. You know, it was like kid stage at that time. And Master Don, I used to mess around with Master Don.
Oh, okay. This is brand new information on the Hip Hop You Don't Stop Show. Now, we have something brand new that we need to spread around the world.
Breaking news.
CNN action. What?
Stop playing.
I didn't even know that.
Master Don. It wasn't.
Back in the day.
Ooh, you mad comfortable with our show. And this is why we do our show. People tell us that they shouldn't be telling us, but it's all good. Elaborate, please.
That's the first time I'm hearing. Elaborate.
I'm going to tell y'all a story about how we.
So how did that happen? How did you hook up with him?
She said,
it happened because, like I said,
how did it happen?
How'd you hook up with him?
And where did it happen at?
Yeah, tell us everything.
How it happened, I was in high school and I was in Julie Richmond, so I hooked up with Don when he heard us playing in the lunchroom. So that's
right. But how did you hook up with him? You hooked up with him.
Okay, well, you do the interview. I'll shut up.
Me.
You do the interview. So how did it happen,
okay.
girl?
You hooked up with him.
He lived right down the hill from me, 147.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is when he was hooking up with you, trying to hook you, how did that go?
Kimma, behave, okay? Behave. Stop it.
Well, hold on. I'm about ready to go, but let me say this real quick. Inquiring minds want to know. Before you go there, before I got to go, and we can stay on to 9:10, but I just wanted, and I knew about Missy and Don, so I was just trying to wonder.
Oh, you knew?
I'm trying to ask this question. I want to know, what did Master Don say to you, and you said, nah, 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 nah?
That's classic. I love it.
Missy D. Na-na-na-na.
I love it. I love
that's
that song.
Classic.
That was so hot, son. That was classic.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
But Missy, go ahead, baby. And because your Vance, look, how we doing on time, son? How we doing on time?
9:10.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to go, but I'm listening.
Missy D, go ahead. Start with the 9:09.
Yeah. And because I got to get to the point like where y'all at right now.
Right.
Okay.
I'm
just so carried away with your life.
Excuse me one second. Excuse me,
yes,
1 second. From the engineering booth, you have overtime, so you can continue on and on to the break of dawn. Hip hop, you don't stop. Go ahead on.
Here you go, Beverly. No, check this out, y'all. Beverly's all the way in the engineering booth. She just listened to the Bronx and the Harlem people. She said, on and on to the break of dawn. I got you, Beverly.
See, if you
let us go, we're going to be spitting rhymes and talk about we went to McDonald's one day, but the food was whack. So we said, yo, fuck that. We ain't never coming back. Blah, blah. Beverly. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Missy. Wrap this up, Missy.
I'm still here. Y'all go ahead. I'm still here. I don't need my voice on here. I want y'all to, you know, do the doggone thing. All right?
Yeah, we going to do that, boo. We
got
you.
Your phone lines are lit up, too. All right. It's appreciated.
Yo, Missy just blew my mind because me and Don was mad cool. I done did mad stuff with Don. He was a yo, Kyle, man. And me and KC. But anyway, Missy, go ahead, baby. Go ahead. Queen. I'm sorry. I called you baby. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to, yeah.
Okay, so basically, now what I'm doing is I'm doing the promoting
Missy,
thing off and on.
We're not talking about what you're doing now. We're talking about you and Don.
And Matt.
But let's knock that out. Yes.
All
yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So, well, you got to understand, like, at the time, I was a kid, so I was really like, you know, when you're a kid, you really take things personal. So,
I got you.
Don was in outside school. And he was giving out some flyers, and he put the flyer in my hand, and it said Battle of the Lady MC.
Ooh.
And it was in 80, and like I said, I was a kid, so I took everything personal. And I'm, like, looking at this flyer, and I'm going through all the names, and I'm like, yeah, I could beat her, I could beat her, I could beat her, I could beat her, I could beat her. And the only name that I didn't know on the thing was Pebbly Puss.
Right.
I didn't know her name. So I think it was so I just really just practiced and I made up one rhyme. I was really, really lazy about it because I was like, she coming in my area. It's like, you know, it's not like I'm going to the Bronx or I'm going to Brooklyn. The party's in Harlem. So this is my house. So I'm gonna make up one rhyme. So I just made up one rhyme. And actually, Sha-Rock was on the flyer, too, but Sha-Rock didn't show up.
Gotcha.
So I decided to let all the girls go in front of me, and I'll go last. And like I said, it was my house because I had the whole St. Nicholas there, the whole Amsterdam there. So, you know, we had the battle, and it was a tie.
I definitely heard about that. I remember that, yeah.
It was a tie between me and Pebbles, and then I think a couple of months later, they ended up having another rematch between me and Pebbles,
right.
And they had I think it was Mr. Freeze because Mr. Freeze was my old DJ, so he gave it. He used to have this show called the Freeze Show, so Mr. Freeze used to have the Freeze Show, and he would have Ray Vaughn and Johnny Watt from the Magnificent Seven.
Right,
and
right.
By the time this battle thing was going on, Mastodon had started to put the Death Committee together. So he had Keith Casey wasn't down yet now. But Booski and Gangsta G and Cool Jazz, I believe his name was. But Keith, like I said, Keith Casey was a cute little. He was little. Cute, and he's still, you know, a nice looking guy because he got that smile. And then he had it was the battles of the Kid Flashes was battling at that time, and I didn't go to the party.
Okay.
I didn't go because my mother wouldn't let me go.
Wow.
I got in trouble for something, so I could never even go. And then after that, just kind of, you know, we would MC in the parks and stuff like that. And then, like I said, I just ended up growing up and not even really thinking about hip-hop no more because my mother made me grow up.
Yeah, your mother was on you. I remember your mother being, like, a real mother. Like, okay,
yeah.
You like this hip hop bullshit, but at the end of
right.
the day,
right.
you have
and
a life.
Pay no bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I kind of like let it go.
Yeah, you let it go.
Daughter,
right.
I think when Bree was my daughter, Brianna, she was about 15. She started getting in hip hop and trying to rhyme. I'm looking
wow.
at her. I'm like, you're saying it wrong. You're not saying it right. But I never told her or my son that I used to do it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I never said anything to them about it. And then one day I was home and I got a letter from some people that were looking for me. The Numero group, and they were looking for me. They had found my old record, and they wanted to, re-release it. And they re-released it, and that was, I think, around that time. That's when I met Kimba. That was some years ago. And I ended up meeting Kimba, too. And they re-released the record and everything. And then they came up to New York and did a show. Kimba came. Kimba.
Yes, I did.
And Mike C, and Reggie the Crash Crew was there. So
yeah,
we did the show.
That was a nice night. That show was really nice.
Gotcha. Kimber, let me ask you this. Kimber, do you remember what was your pinnacle, the highest point of your performance level as a female MC? What would you tell me right now? Well, Kyle, I remember one night I did so-and-so that made me realize, like, I was at the top of my game, and I really loved doing this.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I will have to answer that by saying, after a certain point, because, you know, I was in a group with all guys.
Right.
So it wasn't so much as me, and Shaheem was in my group.
You're right.
Shaheem is like this insane lyricist.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty good. Yeah,
and
I could rock him. I could rock him, but yeah, he's very
I don't know
good.
About that.
No, I'm. You know what? You know, you stop it. This is my show. If I say this on the air, trust and believe me. You don't even know. You know, Kimber, I told you DSC asked me to be in the group, and the reason why you know I didn't join your group. You know
why
I didn't join
your
group.
Why?
Because I would have had to battle his ass. I would have served him. And see,
oh,
Kyle ain't never been in no groups because cats got egos.
Yeah,
because I don't do the ego thing because I'm not the ego dude.
There's
still a lot of egos now.
No,
baby,
no, you don't understand.
Yes.
Kimber, me and Shaheen had a conversation one day on the phone. Yeah, DST wants you to be down with us. And what? What do you say? So meet me in Soundview. Meet me in Castle Hill. These are my hood is Gun Hill. Meet me
right.
in front of T-Connection, not even inside T-Connection, which
right.
I built T-Connection. I'm the first guy to rock the mic. I convinced Richard T to turn T-Connection from a adult disco into hip-hop because he would not do it. It took me 8 months to convince him. 8 months by myself. Finally, he let me get on the mic and T-Connection. I brought Sinbad and Jimmy D in there. We turned T-Connection into what T-Connection finally wound up becoming. A home of the Funky Four, home of Soul Sonic Force and Bambada and Zulu. Yes, that's a fact. Ask their family.
That's what's up.
I'm telling you what it was. So when I talked to Shaheen, he was like, yo, cow, so there. My man, you're turning me off, but I'll tell you what. So meet me in front of I'll battle you. Please, because Kyle ain't that dude, but Kyle can be that dude.
Yeah.
I'll look at you right now and make up something on the top of my head. Shaheen is a very egotistical dude, but he's very good. He is. I have to give a man props. I give props what props to do, and Shaheen deserves that. So whoever's listening to this show, Kyle has given Shaheen his props. So if you call me tonight, my man, if I answer the phone, because Kyle's been known not to answer the phone, because I do look at my caller ID, if I feel like talking to you, I will tell you, you're my man. You are dope, but check this out. I put the D and the O and the P. I put the E in dope because I beat. The original Star Child because that's where they beat. Cool Cow, Star Child. Nobody doper than me. Top of my head. Can we continue on? So go ahead, Kimba. If you.
So I think that for me, it was always like I was always in competition with the guys in my group.
Yes.
So I always felt like I always was competing with them.
Right. No,
healthy competition. And I realized one night when I was emceeing, when I had it so tight, and I was, one thing about emceeing back in the day, you really know you got your flow. You really know you tearing the mic up when your DJ is like putting on them records and scratching it just right for you. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not like, your flow ain't really flowing, DJs, it kind of affects what the DJ's doing. But if the DJ is listening to you and you tearing that mic up, he's like, yo, I'm going to throw this on. Chicka, 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 chicka. And he's killing it.
Queen, it's called synergy. It's called synergy. That's exactly what your synergy. Yes.
What? And when I felt that while DST was DJing behind me, and my group members looking at me like, damn, I want a piece of that. You know how back in the day when you in a group and a good record come on, everyone got their mic and they looking at you like, nigga, pass the fucking mic.
Yes.
And you on that mic
stutters.
Standing up.
I hope she stutters because she's fucking me up right now. I already know.
You
You're so in your flow,
you will ride this shit to the end. You and this DJ, you and him, y'all rocking that shit right now. And I ain't passing the mic to none of y'all.
Hey, yo, Kimba, you could put on one bad apple, don't spoil a whole bunch, girl. You show like, yo, we go on it. You could tear that up.
Listen,
I know
and
exactly
then they're trying to
mean.
Get a little piece anyway because they know your rhyme, so they trying to double up on certain words and they trying to be a part of your shit because you killing it right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, Kimba,
yeah.
I swear to God, I got the biggest smile on my face from exactly what you're saying because I know exactly.
Me too. I'm smiling like the cheese smile because she's so.
Come
right.
on, that's
because
y'all are MCs. That's why MC is a title. It's a designation. It's like being
Thank you, baby.
If you a rapper, that's the equivalent of you being a
rapper.
What are those assisted nursing people that clean up the beds and everything?
CNA?
That's what you are, CNA. But if you're an MC, you're a fucking doctor. There's a difference. There's a designation.
No matter what, come on. You just don't matter.
Because
what,
see, you're never gonna be able to do what I do. If I get on that mic and grab that shit, I'm not doing no 7-minute record and people are singing along. I'm doing some shit.
Wow.
And I got a man behind me backing me up, and this shit is hot right now. All right.
That's classy.
That's
that's the whole point of
real
hip hop. That's classic. Yes, that's real hip hop, which nobody understands nowadays because it's not even about what we did with the DJ and the beats and the music. Listen, I even need beats. I need a song. I used to tell the DJ, okay, put that shit on and move back. I studied the mixer. I studied the sound control, which turntable was on, which turntable was off. I would grab the sound control and move shit off and turn the music off and say a rhyme and bring it back on beat. And then I would
make
a beat just bringing the sound control off and on, making it go zoom, 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 sugar, zoom, zoom, zoom. If you can't do that, you're not a real MC. You will never hear Kool Cow say he's a rapper. I'm not a rapper.
Yeah,
I'm an MC.
That's why people confuse it with Infinity Rappers. I'm like, oh, no, I wasn't no rapper group.
There you go.
And you know what? It's funny because I heard a tape of me. They had this old tape of me the other day, and Shaheen was listening to it, and Shaheen said, damn. He said, you know what? I could tell that when we did that party, you were at the point where you were already competing with us because you was killing it right there.
There you go.
I could hear the competitiveness in you on that tape.
Right, Right.
Okay.
And
so,
then trust
remember.
Me, trust and believe me, they knew. Because, you know, to be a female, and this goes to Missy and you, and me being a man and watching y'all, listen, to stand, again, I go back to what I said in the beginning of the show, for y'all to stand there and try to get down, listen, if y'all had the voice, that was half the battle. Because, you know, black women sound a certain way, and y'all know how to sound. If you had that voice, that was cool, that was cute, y'all sound sexy, y'all sound nice, blah, blah, blah. Because men like to hear that voice. But if you had the rhymes, you knew what to do, and you could bring it and continue bringing it, and then the music changed. Now all of a sudden it went from that record to that record to that record to that record, and you didn't miss nothing, and you still brought it, and the crowd still felt you, and you talked to the crowd, you brought it back. Yo, that's what it was about.
Yeah.
And y'all both did that. And I salute both of y'all for that. That's the word to mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll never know what that feels like.
It was
they'll
a good
never.
Time.
I don't
that's
care who wants to do it now. You'll never know what that feels like. You can never do that.
Because you have to be able to experience that. And these cats nowadays don't do that because they don't have to. You know,
that
come out with a record. Yes.
Yeah, remember when me and you have first met these few years back, and we were
who's
in the
this?
Studio.
Is this Missy. You, Kimber?
It was Missy.
Yeah.
Oh,
me.
I'm sorry, Missy.
Kimber.
Okay, Missy.
It's me, Kimber.
Okay.
Me.
Listen now, and Kyle, we were up in the Bronx, and
okay.
you guys were doing an interview. Do you remember that? And they had some young kids up there, and you was rhyming. You were rhyming off the top of your head, but the kids, they couldn't rhyme off no beat. They had to have their own music.
Exactly.
Do you remember that?
Yes, baby. Yes, queen. I'm sorry. I keep calling, you know, because I'm being mean.
Yeah.
Yes, queen. Yes. Yes.
Like the kids now, they had to rhyme off their own music.
Off
and
of pre... Yes, pre-made shit, which was their beats. Right, 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 right.
And I was standing there going, well, what are they doing? Because I had been out of the loop so long, I didn't even know that it had gotten to that point. That kid was like, well, could you take that off and put this on? And I'm like, well, why y'all can't rhyme off of beats? And, yeah.
You know what?
Check
this out, both of y'all. They don't even know what freestyle is. To them, freestyle is put my song on, and I'll change the words. But the words that they use are shit they already have written. And once those words run out, they stand there, and they're stuck.
Right. Yeah, they can't even, yo, when everybody gets together and people start freestyling, I mean, I get to, like, the chill go up my back. And I have to put it on. You know,
well, they call it lifers now, but we've been doing
that
for
years. But I still get that Mike fever. I still get it.
That's excellent. And
I
love that. And this is why me and Van Soak bought both of y'all on, because, listen, we salute all the female MCs. Listen, Cardi, yeah, she's hot. Yeah, she got a hit record. And I'm not disrespecting her. Absolutely not. But I got a certain knowledge about hip hop, and I pay attention to it right now because I got music, you know, Reggie know, and certain people of our peers already know. They've heard my stuff and they know what it is. And I respect the heritage. And y'all women did it when it was hard to do. It's easy to do now. It's easy to do now. Y'all did it when nobody helped y'all do it. There was no blueprint. Y'all didn't have to read no book. Y'all had five niggas that say, yo, listen, this is what you got to do. And if you'll pay attention, you could do it. Y'all did it off the top of your head, and you went home and you came back. There you go. And I respect y'all.
You have to deal with men. When you're in those type of groups, you have to pull your own weight. You're not going to be there.
There you go.
You can't be the type of chick that's fucking everyone in the group because you're going to be out.
Oh, that's a whole other topic that we can spend another whole hour talking about, because if you are a female, no, I'm dead serious about that part, because
you had to pull your weight. It wasn't about
you
all
had to
that
pull your
shit.
Weight because if you were doing that part, you can get on. But who was doing that back then?
I mean,
no one.
Listen,
that's the point.
Exactly.
No one that I know of.
I mean, we were
doing
groupies.
I don't think anyone was doing it.
No,
yeah,
we weren't
groupies,
doing.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the chicks who were MCs in groups that had males, that the males that were in their group were always protective of her. Because
yeah.
I know I experienced that.
Check this
with
out.
My group,
you will never
like,
hear a story about Kimba. You will never hear a story about Kimba. You will never hear a story about Missy. You will never hear a story about Shylock. You will never hear a story about Sweet and Sour. You will never hear a story about Lisa Lee. You know why? Because chicks wasn't laying down and doing what they need to get on because they had skills.
Right, but, and that was the other thing I was going to say. They had respect for us because we were pulling our own weight. We were serious
there
about ours.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect
that. You know
what
I'm saying? So we got respect. That's how we got that respect. And we got that respect.
And that's why y'all are both on Hip Hop Here Don't Stop, hosted by Kool Cal, the original Star Child, and my man Van Silk. Hey, yo, Beverly, I hope you're listening. I know our time period is closing in on that line. I have no clock in front of me. I never do. But I know we should jump across.
I'm still here.
9:05.
Oh,
Van
Silk. We can go to
my man Van Silk.
Yeah, we can go.
There you go.
We can go to 9:30. We can go to 9:30.
Yeah, let's go to 9:30.
We can go as late as 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
This is.
Yeah.
We can't. We can go as late as 10 o'clock, but we can do 9:30. I'd just like everybody to know this is the Tribe Family Channel. Hip Hop and You Don't Stop. Our next guest next month will be the original Cinderella. But tonight we got Missy D and Kimba, two of our hip hop teams in the building with my man Kool Cal, the original Star Child. And I want everybody to remember March 2018, Bronx Great Day in Hip Hop. It's going to be the biggest 3-day hip hop event ever. Ever. So I got to say, I'm giving it back to you, Cal. Thank you, Beverly.
No job. So Kimba and Missy. You know, Van Silk has been talking about March 2018. I've been putting some polls up. And both of y'all have agreed to be involved in this. And I'm honored and mad appreciative in Souls Van Silk to have your names attached to this. You know, both of y'all, seriously. I see Missy much more than I see you, Kimba. But at the end of the day, it's mad love involved in this because I really appreciate all my brothers and sisters from the beginning, and I consider both of y'all from the beginning. So how do y'all feel about coming to this? And I cannot say the venue on the air. And both of y'all will find out pretty soon where it's at. And when people find out where it's at, they're going to be like, oh, word, y'all got that.
Word.
Oh, shit. I got to say this shit word. I'm sorry, Zoe. I got to say this shit word. They're going to be like, wow, how y'all get that? Because that's what's up, exactly. Because Van Silk been working hard. We've been talking to the people, and they got mad criteria for us to fill. But we're going to knock all that out and get that building. If we get that, when we get that building, they're going to be like, yo, I went there. Oh, my God. I met Shorty there, my wife. We got 8 kids behind that building.
Yeah. Woo, I got some stories about that building.
Yo, for real, for real.
I'll tell you some stories about that. Oh, I can't tell you any stories because I don't even know what building you're talking about.
No, you probably do because you done spilled the bees, girl. But
well,
it's all good, though.
I take it back. I don't know what you're talking about.
But you know what? How do y'all feel? Especially you, Kimba, because y'all need to come there and just stand there because I'm the host. I'll be the host. And I'm not going to have no problem, especially you, Missy. Take this mic for a minute, cause I got your back, and Kimba, I got your back. Just how do you feel about just like talking to the crowd for a minute and just saying something that rhymes? Cause it got to rhyme now. I ain't gonna give you. if it don't rhyme, I'm gonna just take the mic back.
I
like,
have
okay.
No rhyme for you today. Well, I'm all out of rhyme.
How do y'all feel about
I'm
being
all
there?
I can say an old Shaheem rhyme.
I don't care if it's a Shaheem, Raheem, Baheem, or Daheem. You got to do a little something. But how do you feel about just coming out and just letting people see you? you know, and do your thing a little something, something.
Yeah, March. We're doing that in March, right?
Yes, baby. Yeah, it's not tomorrow, so
I'm
you got time.
Wait. Wait a minute. Missy, I need time now.
I really
got to plan for this. Yo, I got to plan for this shit.
Missy, how do you feel?
Well, the crazy thing about it to me is that even though I'm an MC, when I see y'all, when I see the other MCs, I feel like I'm in the presence of royalty. It's like I get.
I know, Missy, you really do. I gotta give you that. You really do. You be like,
the people that I looked up to, and y'all the ones that made me want to be an MC. You know what I'm saying? So just to see Cool Kyle and Kaz and Nell, all of us, all the different types of hip hop, and all the different ways we all rhyme, but we all just flow, and it's I love when all of us are together. I always do.
Do. I gotta say that. I've seen
because
you act like that.
We all bring something different to the game. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their own style. You know what I'm saying? And their own sound. And, for me as an MC, I love hearing the voices because everybody's voices are so unique to me.
Yeah.
And when I listen to Tiski, Tiski Valley has, like, one of the oddest voices to me.
Know who my favorite voices is? L.A. Sunshine. I used to love L.A. Sunshine voice.
Okay, that's great. That's
L.A.
great.
Sunshine and K.K. Rockwell.
Wow. That's great. I'm glad to hear you all say that on the air because me personally, L.A. is my man. K.K. is definitely my man. I mean, his whole trials and tribulations, and he's home now, and I talk to him on the regular. And Tiski, of course, Tyrone, man, that's my boy, too.
Yeah.
It's good for y'all to acknowledge them and to respect them and feel them like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear females say that. I really love this. I really love the female acknowledgement of the male presence in the game. Because y'all understand something. We didn't call y'all just to be like, we need some females tonight. Because, we do that every now and then because it's not just a male game. So we know we need to speak to females. But to hear y'all acknowledge the male presence is a mad respect thing coming from the other side. And that's a great thing that y'all are doing. Seriously, and I really respect that and give y'all mad props for doing that because how evolved y'all are.
Me and Missy D were just in Philly this summer to go see Raheem. We drove out there.
Very good. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah.
To the amphitheater was who was it? Sugar Hill Gang.
Right.
Furious
right.
Five.
Yes.
Who
yes.
else was there, Missy D? Hello.
Missy.
Actually, Missy D dropped off, but she'll be
calling
back in, and I will reopen her line. Okay,
yeah,
open her line. It's too late for her to call in because we're in overtime. So can you three-way her in?
Okay, tell her to call me back. She got to call me back.
Wow.
Oh, I can do it. Let me call her. Hold on.
All right, go ahead and get Missy D back in. In the meanwhile, Cool Kyle, Star Child, will you please let our listeners know a little bit more about March 2018 and any other events that are happening, some of the visitors that have been on the show we know are doing. You got Missy D back? All right. Well, there we go.
Yeah, I got
Very
you.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Get back in.
We got you, Missy. You here, though, baby. You here. You here. You here, Queen.
Yeah, me and Missy D were just that in Philly. When was it? August?
Yeah, it was like in August.
To see them at the amphitheater.
Right.
It was nice. It was a nice night. It was packed. It was really nice.
Yeah, the Furious Five, Miss LA.
Oh, yeah, Miss LA. It was nice. It was nicer than I thought it would be.
Really?
Yeah,
did he follow with me?
Like promoting events and stuff. That's
yeah, it was a nice event. You know, was in, you know, wasn't like a SOBs. It was a big amphitheater, and it was summer, and it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was packed. Oh, it was so many people out there. Oh, it was packed, and they were going nuts.
It was a great event.
And it was, but it was a nice crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have been there my damn self, but because of personal situations, I couldn't get there. And,
oh, no.
Well, yeah, you know, no. Stop it, y'all, both of y'all. Knock it off. But at the end of the day.
Right.
No, somebody said something, but I don't know, because I'm just listening to two voices. But at the end of the day, don't keep forgetting, I'm the host. Okay, we mad close.
Yes.
All of us, but still,
you
respect
the
host. But,
okay.
Yeah, I am the host, damn it. But
yes,
I would have liked to have been there. You know, I talked to Raheem like that whole 2 weeks before that. You Kyle, you coming through?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my man, I'm going to be there. But Kyle couldn't be there. But at the end of the day, I already knew what it was about. I knew the work it took to make that happen because it was a lot of work to make that show
Lady
happen.
Lady B's Basement or something, Lady B's Basement, right?
Yeah.
Lady B.
Nice.
Your lady, she's another one. But anyway.
Hold on 1 second. The sad part about all that is, for the whole year, we was working on getting Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five back together.
Tell him so, please.
Wow,
that
would have been it.
For the art of rap, but do the Flash schedule. You know, and due to the unforeseen incident with Kid Creole.
Right,
and
that changed the whole
dynamic. I'm like, oh my God.
It changed the whole dynamics of everything. And to be honest, I guarantee, you know, like Raheem, Raheem is Raheem, Mel is Scorp, Flash is Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And unless there's something going to be major and Creole is out, I guess you might have, that you would never get to see that group again.
Yeah. Well, look, you know what?
And let me just interject from the engineering booth that if you go back to blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul, which is our studio, our January 6, 2016 inaugural show, the first person you will hear besides our host is Mr. Kid Creole. Salute. So hip hop, you don't stop. We love you, Kid Creole. Peace.
Yes, the last interview was with us in January of
that was
this year,
the last interview,
year, this year,
right?
This year,
right?
Well, you know what?
The last interview.
We just, I'm just glad that we all grew up together and were able to see the Furious Five when they were in their heyday, when they was killing it in the Bronx.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
You had to be there. I've seen them many a time.
Your recording
okay?
reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star.
Who's that?
Whoever's multitasking on their phone, I don't know. That's probably Mr. Van Silk. You know, he over there getting it in. Now I'm going to have to call him and get him back on because he dropped off. That's all right. You know, hip-hop, you just don't stop up in here. We do it all up in this piece. So let me get Van Silk back on and y'all continue, okay?
Yes, baby, yes. No doubt.
All right, thank you.
Well, you know what? But you know what, Kyle? Cool, Kyle?
Yes.
Really, seriously.
Yes.
We, you know, people don't understand. Like, sometimes I get frustrated and I say to people, look, it's over. You weren't there, so you'll never really know how it was. Like, we've seen things like Flash and the Furious Five. I mean, how many Flash and the Furious Five shows have you been to back in the day?
Got you. Yeah. More than one. Okay, put it that way.
A whole hell of a lot more than just one.
Exactly, yes.
So, I mean, we got to see them, but...
But you know what? You know, because of history and because of the internet and because of media right now, like my birthday was last Friday, and Mad Cats posted, there's a tape of myself and a birthday party of myself at T Connection in 1979. I think I was 18 or 19.
Wow.
And they posted that, yeah, where I was in the booth chilling. Now, I knew they were coming. They called me, yo, Kyle, let's do T Connection. And, yeah, we got paid to be there and all that, but I wasn't going to mess with them because I was chilling. But anyway, long story short, that tape circulated and got made into a CD, and it's on the internet right now. It's been on the internet for like,
wow,
how many years has that been? Since 79. So Madcast posted it. Yeah, Kool Kyle and the Furious Five. Sinbad is playing, and he gives the turntables to Flash. So Flash is playing, Cowboy's on the mic, he calls me to the stage, Kool Kyle, come in, man, come down, man. And then Mel, and I get on the stage. I remember this like it was yesterday, because I used to do a lot of stuff with them. And the fact of the matter is, if you were not there, like we were all there, you just don't understand what this thing is really about. And
yeah,
it's not about the records and performing recorded stuff. You know, it is. I'm not going to lie. It is about that to an extent.
Yeah.
But the purity of hip-hop has been lost. And it's
our job. The innocence of it all.
Yes,
yeah.
And the part of where a DJ gave you something to rhyme off of, and you looked in his eyes and said, you know what to play next, and he put that on, and you got with him, and the crowd looked up at the booth, because that's what it really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what me and Vanso try to tell the world. They'll listen. This thing is not about what you think it is. And it's cool that it is what it is now, but don't ever forget. Don't forget Vincent Van Gogh. Don't forget Chuck Berry. Don't forget Fats Domino. And don't forget Grandmaster Flash, DJ Sinbad, Grand Wizard Theater, Grandmaster Caz, Kool Kyle, the original style. I don't give a damn if I never had a hit record. Don't forget none of us. Because we all, Kimba, Missy D.
I ain't never had one.
But it doesn't matter, because somebody got your ass out that house that you lived in, and you went to that spot and put that mic in your hand and said, to y'all, until the beat down, you don't stop, that body rock. You did that. And someone remembers. Kyle remembers. Silk remembers. The world remembers. And as long as I'm still breathing and I can talk, I'm telling the world. Everybody involved in this shit matters, because if it wasn't for all of us, none of this would be going on, and that's the most important thing. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so I've done my job tonight. I think I've saluted Missy D and MC Kimba to the nth degree, because I love both of y'all to death. Kimba don't like light-skinned niggas. And that's
how
light-skinned men.
Missy D,
she actually told me one day.
Remember when we was over at the school? Remember when you had the chicken wing for Reggie?
Yes, I do remember very well. Yes, I do.
And
I remember everything.
And they were eating the chicken wings. He was going to tell me the other day that I told him I don't like light-skinned men. You said that?
That's exactly what you said. You were sitting there. You said, I don't like light-skinned dudes. But you weren't talking to me. You just said it out loud. But I remember everything.
So you could hear it.
Yes, I heard it. And I never forgot it, because you were cutie. And I got my feelings. I felt some kind of way. Because that's what your young people say. I felt some kind of way.
Oh, man.
And that, yo, Kimba, that's how Vanzo became a side chick, because...
That's how it happened?
No, that's how Van Soap became the side chick. We were talking about that the other day, us, on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And we brought that up, and I don't know how he became the side chick behind that conversation.
And I just started laughing. I was like, Van Soap is the side chick. And you busted out laughing, and we laughed for like 20 minutes.
We laughed for about half an hour.
Van Soap was just sitting
29 there. Minutes. Yeah.
Oh, we were laughing.
But it's all good. It's all good.
Okay, so Beverly, how we doing on time, babe? How we doing on time?
Where are you guys are doing great on time. You guys are doing great on time. What I would love to know is from each of you, where can our listeners find you, connect with you on social media, on Facebook? And before I go out, I want to just remind everyone that Hip Hop You Don't Stop was created especially for my 80s babies, and our season finale of this phenomenal show will be December 8th, Van Silk and Kool Cow, the original Spark Child. Big salute to these kings for making this all a blessing, and we will continue with season 3, January. It's a family affair where we will be combining Hip Hop You Don't Stop and Hip Hop You Don't Stop, giving ladies props together. And by the way, please tune in November, let me look at the calendar, I'm sorry, November 24th, Cheryl the Pearl, host of Hip Hop You Don't Stop, giving ladies props, will be interviewing Sparky D, and I will be bringing a newcomer, whoever that may be. So please tune in, same Tribe Family channel, same Hip Hop You Don't Stop station. So you all, thank you so very, very much for bringing your artistry and the pioneer legendary gifts that you give to Hip Hop You Don't Stop. Let our listeners know where we can all find you before you exit the show. And then we're going to go out with the whole thing on Rapper's Delight. I'm partying. I've been enjoying y'all. So thank you very much again. My pleasure.
Thank you so much, Beverly. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to thank my special, special, special guest, MC Missy D and MC Kimber. So, Missy, where can we find you? Besides me and you talking on the phone, but where can we find Missy D?
Basically, I'm on Facebook under Missy D, and I'm also on Facebook under Bougie Girl Entertainment. What I'm doing right now, I do events. I cater events also. So you can catch me there.
Very good. Very good, Queen. And MC Kimber, where can we find you?
I am on Facebook, Kimber Reynolds on Facebook, The Real Kimber on Instagram, The Real Kimber on Twitter, The Real Kimber in Snapchat.
Damn, Kimber, you out all that stuff?
Yeah, she's all over.
I'm all over.
Yeah, she Kimber's all over.
And LinkedIn, Kimber Reynolds.
LinkedIn, yes.
Yeah,
very
I'm all
good.
Over.
Very good. Okay, Van Silk, you still there? Okay, my man done blinked out doing his thing. So, Beverly, he do what he do. But, Beverly, are we ready to call it a wrap?
We are ready to call it a wrap, Mr. Kool Cow, the original star child. I want you to
let our listeners know where they can catch
up with you. And we definitely want to make sure we know where our listeners can catch up with both of our guests. We thank you. I salute you, MC Kimber, Missy D. We definitely want to give both of you all a video for the Geniuses Common movement. And you too, Kool Cow, the original star child. Visit geniuscommon.com and get that video out there. And follow us at Hip Hop You Don't Stop via Tribe Family Channel on Facebook, and we appreciate you so very much. So one of the calls has dropped off, but go ahead and take us on out, and we're going to go with Rapper's Delight after this.
There you go. Once again, it's Van Silk, Kool Cow, original star child, Hip Hop You Don't Stop, Beverly Black, Geniuses Common. We do this every time we decide to do it, and it's all hot. Missy D, Kimber, yo, that's how we do this. Yo, real hip hop all the time, anytime. Love y'all. Make sure you check in next week.
This is how we do this. We out, y'all. One.
boogity bang bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. I say I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat and attempt to raise your body heat. But just blow your mind so with that you can't speak and do a thing but a rock and shuffle your feet and let it change up to a dance called the freak. And when you finally do come into your rhythmic feet, rest a little while so you don't get weak. I know a man in hand, he has more rhymes than a serious bank, so come on, hey, I sing that song until the rhythm of the boogie bang bang the bomb.
Well, I'm felt the dip, the ladies pimp, the women fight for my delight, but I'm the grand master with the three MCs that shop the house for the young ladies. And when you come inside into the front, you do the freak bank and do the bump. And when the sucker MCs try to prove a point with Tretter's trio, I win the serious joint. And from sun to sun and from day to day, I sit down and write a brand new rhyme, because to say that miracles never cease, I've created a devastating masterpiece. I'm gonna rock the mic so you can't resist everybody. I say it goes like this. While I was coming home late one dark afternoon, reporter stopped me for an interview. She said she's heard stories and she's heard fables that are vicious on the mic and the turntable. This young reporter I did adore, so I rocked a vicious rhyme like I never did before. She said, damn fly guy, I'm in love with you. Casanova legend must have been true. I said, by the way, baby, what's your name? Said I go by the name Lois Lane. And you can be my boyfriend, you surely can. Just let me quit my boyfriend, call Superman. I said, he's a fairy, I do suppose, flying through the air and pantyhose. He may be very sexy or even cute, but he looks like a sucker in a blue and red suit. I said, you need a man who's got finesse and his whole name across his chest. He may be able to fly all through the night, but can he rock a party till the early light? He can't satisfy you with his little worm, but I can bust you out with my super sperm. I go do it, I go do it, I go do it, do it, do it. And I'm here, and I'm there, I'm Big Bang Hank, I'm everywhere. I just throw your hands up in the air and party hard like you just don't care. Let's do it, I don't stop, y'all, I take a top, y'all, you don't stop. I go hotel, motel, and what you gonna do today? I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a Death OJ. Everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take a friend. I say skip, God, what can I say? I can't fit them all inside my OJ, so I just take half and bust them out. I give the rest to Master D so he can shock the house.
It was 12 o'clock the one Friday night. I was rocking to the beat, feeling all right. Everybody was dancing on the floor, just doing all the things they never did before. And then the fly, fly girl with a sexy lead, she came into the bar, she came into the scene. As she traveled deeper inside the room, all the fellas checked out her white ass tune. She came up to the table, looked into my eyes, then she turned around and she got behind. So I said to myself, it's time for me to release my vicious rhyme, I call my masterpiece. And now people in the house, this is just for you, a little rap to make your boogaloo. Now the group you hear is called Phase 2, and let me tell you something, we're a hell of a crew. Once a week, we're on the street just to cut the jam and make it a free for you to party. Got to have the mood, so we'll get right down and give you a groove for you to dance. You got to be hot, so we'll get right down and make it rock. Now, system's on and the girls are there. You definitely have a rockin' affair. But let me tell you something, there's still one fact, that to have a party, got to have a rap. So when the party's over, you're making it home and trying to sleep before the break of dawn. And while you're sleeping, you start to dream and think of how you dance on a disco scene. A name appears in your mind, yeah, a name you know that was right on time. It was Phase 2, I just a do and a do, rocking you down cause you don't be cool to the rhythm of the beat that makes you free. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. To the rhythm of the beat, to the beat, to the double beat, beat that makes you freak. To the rhythm of the beat that says you go on and on until the break of dawn. I got the man coming on right now. He's guaranteed you, no doubt. He goes by the name of Wonder Mike. Come on, Wonder Mike, do what you like.
Lay a can of beer that's sweeter than honey, like a millionaire that has no money, like a rainy day that is not wet, like a gambling fiend that does not bet, like Dracula without his fangs, like the boogie to the boogie without the boogie bang, like collard greens that don't taste good, like a tree that's not made out of wood, like going up and not coming down. It's just like the beat without the sound of down to the beat. You do the freak, everybody just rock and dance to the beat. Have you ever went over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni soggy, the peas all mushed, and the chicken tastes like wood. So you try to play it off like you think you can by saying that you're full. And then your friend says, mama, he's just being polite, he ain't finishing all that food. So your heart starts pumping and you think of a lie and you say that you already ate.
And your friend says, man, there's plenty of food, so keep piling for more on your plate. But while the sticky food's steaming, your mind starts to dream of the moment it's time to leave. And then you look at your plate, and your chicken's fully rotting into something that looks like cheese. Oh, so you say, that's it, I got to leave this place. I don't care what these people think. I'm just sitting here making myself nauseous with this ugly food that stinks. Well, so you bust out the door while it's still closed, still sick from the food you ate. And then you run to the store for quick relief from a bottle of K.O. Pectate. And then you call your friend 2 weeks later to see how he has been. And he says, I understand about the food, babe, but we're still friends. Oh, with a hip hop, the hippie to the hip of the hip, hip a hoppy, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang boogie. Say, up jumps the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I said, Hank, can you rock? Can you rock to the rhythm that just don't stop? Or can you hit me to the shoo-be-doo? I said, I come on, make the people move. I go to the hoses and ring the bell because I am the man with the clientele. And if you ask me why, I rock so well in Big Bang. I got clientele from the time I was only 6 years old. I never forgot what I was told. It was the best advice that I ever had. It came from my wife's dear old dad. He said, sit down, punk, I want to talk to you. And don't say a word until I'm through. Now there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live and a time to die, a time to break and a time to chill, to act civilized or act real ill. But whatever you do in your lifetime, you never let an MC steal your rhyme. So from 66 to this very day, I'll always remember what it had to say. So when the sucker MCs try to jump my style, I let them know that I'm versatile. I got style for them and a little black book. It's filled with rhymes and I know you want to look. But the thing that separates you from me, and that is called originality, because my rhymes are on from what you heard. I didn't even write, not a dot word. And I say a little more later on tonight, so the sucker MCs can fight all night. I take a shot, y'all, I beat y'all, let's rock, y'all. You know, stop, go hotel, motel, or what you gonna do today?
Say what?
I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some swag and drive off in a death. Oh, yeah, everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. I like that, y'all. I did the beat, y'all. I beat, y'all. You know, stop. I'm Master G. I'm my mellow. It's on you. So what you gonna do?
Well, I like the head coughing on the late show. I like fucking rocking in stereo. I like the bar case singing Holy Ghost. The sound of those sounds. I definitely the most is like my man, Kevin Sky. His name's the Earn with the Super Sperm. We rock and we don't stop. Get off, y'all. I'm here to give you what you got. To the beat that it makes you freak. Come alive, girl. Get on your feet. I like a Pepsi Mason without a case. Like Sarah Foster without her face. Like the bar case. On the mic, like it and like down for you to not like moving your body so you don't know how. Right to the rhythm and slow down. Like coming alive, it's the Master G, the brother who rocks so viciously. At the age of one, my life begun. At the age of two, I was doing it too. At the age of three, it was you and me rocking to the sounds of the Master G. At the age of four, I was on the floor giving all the beats what they bargained for. At the age of five, I didn't take no job with the Master G. So the way live. I went off, I gotta run on down to the beat, you see, getting right on down, making all the girls just take off to the beat, to beat, to the double beat, beat that makes you free. At the age of 8, I was a really great delivery night, like you see, I had a date. At the age of 9, I was a right on down to the beat, I had a proper rhyme, I'm going on and on and on and on and on, the beat don't stop until the break of dawn. I'm a hell of a man when I'm on the mic and I am the definite.